All right, we're on the line with Maurice Hetherington from Baralabar in central Queensland. Maurice is a food producer, a cattle and wheat producer. He's also the former chairman of the CEC, Citizens Electoral Council, for many years. And he's a former councillor on the Banana Shire Council. Now, Maurice, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, mate.
Maurice, to start with, please describe for the listeners the true economic cost of the Queensland floods from the standpoint of the functionality of the physical economy.
There's no limit to this. This is just mind-boggling, the infrastructure that's been destroyed. In a lot of cases, the infrastructure was getting old anyhow, so it wasn't capable of handling the water situation. We had one quote here that the surface water of the floodwaters of Queensland would cover the entire state of New South Wales. So on the mining industry, which is enormous here in central Queensland, the infrastructure to get the coal out is mind-boggling. The railway line's washed away. It'll be a long time getting that back into operation. Gladstone Port Authority has actually shut down because there's no coal to move. There's no coal coming in. Ships sitting out to sea. There's 18 mines inundated with water. I doubt if you'd buy a pump in the nation today to pump water because the big guys would have all them. So that's the mining industry. Mind-boggling. That's one of our main economies here. The rural industry, well, I just feel sad for the room. I mean, I'm a 70-year-old food producer and on the way out, but there are a lot of the young fellas here that have lost just about everything, second time round in cases. So really, the governments of today are going down the wrong track. The first thing, we're going to have a chronic food shortage in Queensland, chronic. We've got it now where people are fighting each other in supermarkets to get the pound of the loaf of bread. So when that comes, so that's all gone. We've lost our last food bowl was in Gatton and Helen, and all these other small crop industries were flooded out a week or two ago. And then yesterday was Hellenden and Gatton, where it's the feed bowl of Brisbane. So righto, and the first thing I think has to be done is that we have to keep the farmers on the land and small businesses in their small businesses. That's absolute priority, and there's no way in the world they can do it in the present system. It has to be a debt moratorium across the board to actually cover them, because they're all indebted up to their ears. Debt moratorium and low interest credit pumped into the system as in 2% interest to give them a kickstart and get them going, because they're bled dry, absolutely bled dry. So really, governments have got to go down another track, come back into your old Commonwealth Bank system or whatever system. There's got to be other methods other than, these little handouts, but the criteria is set to get these loans and that. Is mind-boggling, really. So I think really that's what we've got to do, is keep the farmer viable, producing food as quick as possible to feed the people.
It's an important call for a debt moratorium, but can you give people a sense of why that's so important in terms of the physical challenges that food producers will be facing in the coming months and years because of this?
Well, there's a limit to how much, a koala can bear. You've got people that are carrying debt loads. They were relying on this year's crop. Now, our wheat crops have gone through, and the bulk of them were sprouted from high. So I said 2 months ago there's going to be a shortage of milling wheat in this country because West Australia had massive droughts. Canada, Russia didn't have any wheat, but there'll be a shortage of milling wheat. Now, you can't mill sprouted wheat for bread. So there's one of the main food supplements of the Australian people is bread. Well, if we got no wheat to produce it, for flour, there's a crisis. Well, then we've come on then with the smaller crops, the mung beans and chickpeas. That's one of the big crops up here. They're all gone. And then you come down to the watermelons, potatoes, onions. The small croppers around. Well, they're all gone. So it is.
When you say gone, you mean washed away by the flood?
Washed away.
Yep.
And then the tractors and the mind-boggling too. All this stuff came up that quick. People didn't have time to do much about saving their machinery. Well, a tractor's a big dollar. Well, a tractor's a life brother of the farmer. Without a tractor, he's going nowhere. and they're exorbitant costs. Yeah, they have to change the system. We cannot go down the system and say, oh, well, we'll give you a few, throw you some crumbs to keep you going. There's an issue here of depression and that type of thing too. It hasn't sat in yet, but there's going to be a lot of sad farmers around the place, because most of them are old anyway. You know, let's face it, all the kids, all our sons are all been working in mines and things. You know, the majority of the farm now is run by all farm income, or the smaller farms in here.
And what's the state of the physical infrastructure around you, like the roads and the bridges and the rail?
Absolutely devastated. There's even, you know, the bitumen washed off top of road, bridges destroyed. And when you get a bridge over a major waterway destroyed, you're not going to fix that in 3 days. You know, that's a serious infrastructure. But the roads, of course, you know, they'll get by. They've got a 5-ton load limit on a lot of the roads. Well, how the hell are you going to get a semi-load of cattle to market on a 5-ton load limit, you know, and grain or whatever you're shifting? So everything's ground to a halt, absolutely ground to a halt. And the rivers are still in full flood anyway, so there's a limit to where people can go. Rockhampton's an interesting exercise, you know, completely cut off, running out of food. So, and now Brisbane, and that's the irony of it. You know, the Brisbane people no doubt would have threw money in the billy to help the country people on that month that they were raising, and now if they're in the same boat, they'll probably give it back to them.
So, Maurice, in your view, if the government insists on a free market response to this, a little bit of money to prime the pump, but otherwise let the market take care of who survives and who doesn't, what can food producers in Queensland be expected to face?
It's all over. They do that. We've had enough of this free market leaving. You know, we've never got a fair price for our commodities right down the line. The cartels have always made the profits. There has to be a massive paradigm shift in the system now, and this is the wake-up call. Even years ago, we used to fight against this cashless society system. Mm. Well, there's a generation out there now who realise that their plastic card's not worth a cracker. They've been buying a Mars bar with a plastic card. Now they can't get credit. They're stuck out somewhere in some town on holidays with a bunch of kids to feed, and they've got no finance. So finance, fuel and food are the three big issues for the next 2 months. And then from then on, getting the show going. But it is. It's an enormous thing. We've had plenty of cyclones in Queensland, but we usually get them in a section of Queensland. But this has wiped the whole state out. And now it's heading down the Orway course. That's the thing.
Well,
and we're only just starting on the wet season too, I might add. They predicted another 5 cyclones before March. So, you know, I'm not being a gloom and doomer. I'm just facing reality. This is reality, and that people have to eat. And if they haven't got people producing food, they've got nothing to eat.
So you're calling for a debt moratorium is the most important thing the government can do straight away?
Well, it's the first light that will give the farmers a bit of incentive to get into the mud and sign. You know, there's 1,000 miles of fences to fix up here for a start. And there's another issue too. We need workforce big time. But we can't bring them out on the farms now with all the safety regulations and bureaucracy. That's ridiculous. That's all got to go by the board. You know, indoctrination or whatever they call it. You've got to be inducted to start a chainsaw or accredited or some other rubbish. Now it's all over. We have to get serious now, get a workforce here. We've got these blokes in these detention centres. Bring them, we're fattening them. They're sitting doing nothing. Bring them out here and let them put them to work. They can fix fences. I'll soon charm out of there that. But then you've got, you know, minimum security prisoners. Put them to work, because we haven't got the workforce out here to get these fences back up and just do general maintenance to get, you know, not heavy maintenance, but general maintenance. And fences, you've got no idea the amount of fences that are gone. Unbelievable.
Well, Maurice, thanks very much for that. I think you've given the listeners a good sense that they're not really getting through the media, which tends to focus on the more sensational things. The physical economic cost is quite stark, and this is underscores the need for a, as you said, a paradigm shift in the way government functions if Australia is going to survive this. So thanks again, Maurice.
Take care. Bye.